Right, brethren, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is one of the most important messages that you will ever hear me preach. And I hope you'll pay attention. I hope you'll read the scriptures with me. When speaking of his trouble that came to him, when men tried to cause him to die in a temporal way, the Apostle Paul said this concerning how God delivered him. He said in verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." Now, Paul is speaking about God delivering him from physical death, from a temporal death. But what he says here about God delivering, that's true of us concerning salvation. God has, he is, and he shall yet deliver his people. Some ancient translations put deaths here, plural. He delivered us from so great a deaths. So great deaths. And God does deliver us from many deaths. From many deaths. I realize dead is dead. But when Adam sinned and we died in Adam, we died many deaths. God told Adam of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest freely eat, but thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Of any other tree you may freely eat, but that tree you shall not eat of it. And he said, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it means, dying, thou shalt die. In Adam, and through Adam, we died many deaths. Every one of us that came from Adam. We died physical death. When sin entered, sin resulted in a decaying body, disease. And it just decayed, a decaying body of death that soon just turns back into dust. And we have to be delivered from physical death. We died a legal death. Adam became guilty in unrighteousness when he disobeyed God. And we became guilty in him. We need to be delivered from that legal death. We became spiritually dead. Adam's nature became sin. Sin marred God's image in Adam's nature. And so by Adam's corrupt seed, by natural generation, we received from Adam that corrupt image. We received the corrupt image of Adam. We received a nature that's dead in sins, doesn't know God, is thoroughly, totally dead in trespass and sin. We have to be delivered from that spiritual death. And we're going to have to be delivered from eternal death. That death that comes after we die physically. We have to be delivered from eternal death, that worm that never dies. Now, what Paul is saying here, and as we relate it to our salvation, is this. The delivering of God's people in salvation is accomplished entirely by God alone, beginning to end. The accomplishment of our salvation, the delivering of God's people in salvation, is accomplished by God entirely, by himself, from beginning to the end. The subject we're going to look at tonight is the tenses of salvation. We're going to start in eternity past. We're going to go through the present in time, and we're going to go into the future. Into eternity future. That's covering it all. The past, the present, and the future. That'll be our division. Now, first of all, concerning the past deliverance. God delivered his people, it says here, who hath delivered us from so great a death. There is a past deliverance that God has accomplished for His people. In eternity past, God delivered all whom He called in divine election. He delivered us in eternity. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, God hath saved us, past tense, and called us with a holy calling, past tense, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Because of the fact that God works everything after His own purpose, and His grace changes not, He can't be frustrated because God is absolutely sovereign to bring to pass His eternal purpose. Whenever God chose His people in Christ, God delivered us. He delivered us. He saved us and He called us when He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. You can read about it in Revelation 17:8, the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote our names there from the foundation of the world. And it was not according to any foreseen works in us. God creates. Christ was given the work of creating a new creation. And He creates everything that is in His child in this earth. He creates everything that He brings forth from His child that God will receive. He creates it. So there could be nothing foreseen in us that God foresaw when He's the one that would give it all. I read an illustration book by Spurgeon this week, and he put it like this. If I saw a group of fellas standing down there, and I said, that fella in the middle, I'm going to give him a quarter. It wasn't because I foresaw anything in him, I'm going to give him the quarter. It wasn't because I foresaw he had a quarter that I gave him the quarter. I'm going to give him the quarter. And everything we have, God gave us. He didn't foresee anything in us. It was according to His own purpose and grace freely given to us in Jesus Christ before the world began. And when the Son of God, who cannot lie, the Son of God who shall not fail, when He entered into everlasting, unchangeable covenant with God our Father to die and create His people entirely anew, when He entered in covenant to do the whole work, and God trusted that whole work to Him, He delivered us in the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the reason when the Holy Spirit's talking about the rest that God gives His people, eternal rest that God gives His people, He says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In the eternal now. Now try to think on this. In the eternal now, where everything's now, there is no tense, it's just now. In the eternal now, when God chose His people in Christ, everything about us that will be Christ's finished new creation was already in Christ. You see what I'm saying? Everything we're going to be when He gets finished completing that new creation, we were in Christ in the beginning. And because God trusted His Son, that work was finished. It was done right then in God's purpose in Christ. And then we come to the historical past. We come to time now. And everything in our historical past, Christ delivered us from so great a death on the cross, when He went to the cross. This is how Christ delivered us. This is how the Scriptures put it. Listen to this. He finished the transgression for us. He finished the transgression. It's done. There's no more transgression because Christ finished it. He made an end of our sins. They're gone. They come to an end. He made reconciliation to God for our iniquity. He brought us back into friendship with God. And He brought in an everlasting righteousness for us. That's what He did. And He delivered us from death's dominion into that everlasting glory with God when He died and then came out of that grave and arose and sat down at God's right hand in glory. He delivered us. Right then and there. You try to enter into this. in Christ, we really died to sin, and we really arose anew to glory. We really did. You see, what to us right now is real is fleshly, temporal dust, like Brother Robert was just talking about. And as God said in that passage, it's going right back to dust. It's cursed, and it's going back to dust. And all that we consider, the reason we can't understand that we died in Adam and arose in Christ is because the things we consider to be real are just dust. That's all it is. But we really died in Adam. And in that perfect day, when He comes and brings us home, when the new creation's complete, when it's complete, when God's finished making the new creation, and it's complete, nothing that now we consider to be us will remain. Nothing. Not this world, not this flesh, nothing about us. Nothing about us will be there in glory. That all this we think is real about us, about the real me. This, none of this will be there. It'll be all brand new, created entirely new by Christ. Everything. Everything about His people will be the new creation. A brand new creation. You know, when He made the first creation, He didn't make it out of something. He made it out of nothing. And that's important because He doesn't make us a new creation out of something in us either. He makes us brand new out of nothing from us. It's all out of Him. It's all from Him. So we really are dead and we really are risen in Christ. Listen to Romans 6:10. In that He died unto sin once. That's done. That's over with. But in that He liveth continually forever unto God. What does that have to do with us? He says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves, the real you, to be dead indeed unto sin. Everything about us right now that we consider real already died in Christ because it had to die under God's justice. We died. And He says, but we're alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just like He liveth now forever, we are alive right now forever at God's right hand. His people are. That's why He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection singular. Your affection. We just got one affection. Set that one affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When am I going to see that life? When am I going to behold this new me? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When He comes again, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Now, that's the truth of the matter. Then we come now to our experiential past. This is what you and I experienced. God delivered us. He delivered us from so great a death. God predestinated each of His elect to behold the exceeding riches of His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He predestinated us to behold that. And because He did that, God worked everything to make your mother and your father and my mother and my father conceive you in your mother's womb. And while you were in your mother's womb, God held you up and God delivered you from your mother's womb. You mean it's even that intricate that He delivered me? Oh, that's nothing. The things I just talked about that He did from eternity and that He did in Christ on the cross, that's far more. But He held us up in the womb and delivered us from the womb. Turn over with me, if you will, to Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46. Let me read this to you while you're turning there. The psalmist said this, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Now read this right here in Isaiah 46:3. We're going to go on into the future here, but I want you to see how thorough this deliverance is, even in our temporal state. Isaiah 46:3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. He's talking about his elect people. All his elect, his true spiritual elect. He says, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to your gray hair will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. When we were in our mother's womb, he made certain that we were delivered. And then from that moment that we were born, every dark path we went down in total blindness, dead in sins, God delivered us from many deaths that whole time. When as yet we didn't know him and didn't even know he was doing it for us. We were like Cyrus. He said, I'm the Lord and there's none else and there's no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Every death that we were delivered out of, ones we didn't even know we were delivered out of, he delivered us. Enemies we couldn't even see, he delivered us. Why'd he do that? He carried us sovereignly in his hand and delivered us sovereignly in his hand to that hour that he appointed from eternity when he sent us his gospel, and he plucked us like a brand out of the fire by making us to be born again, to be born entirely anew by regeneration. When he made us entirely new creation in spirit, when Christ was formed in you, the hope of glory, when Christ is formed in us, he gives you a new spirit. He doesn't believe for you. He's going to cause you to believe. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. But that new spirit and Christ are one. They're one. So that they can't be separated. But he gives you a new spirit. That didn't come from us. Nothing we did gave us that. He created that entirely anew. Christ did himself. And he did it by irresistible grace through the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. He gave us faith to believe him and caused us to believe on him. To cast all our care on him and trust him. He caused us to believe on him. And when he did that, he made us willing to receive everything from God's hand. We received the atonement. We received free justification. We received reconciliation to God. We became reconciled to God in the new man in Christ. And we received eternal life and peace with God. Don't you pray God will do that for one of our children tonight? I pray he'll do that. I pray he will deliver them. If somebody's sitting here saying, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved? Listen to God. He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, that sounds pretty simple. Why then can't we do it? Man is willing to do anything but nothing until God gives you a heart to cast it all on Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you to save me. I believe every word God said, and I'm going to trust you to save me. Even if he's done that for you, you confess him with the mouth, you believe on him with the heart, and we confess him in believer's baptism and unite with his people and come and hear his word, this life to us. But that's what he did. So from then till now, God's delivered us. He started in eternity and he's delivered us over and over and over. From the cross to the cradle till right now, he's delivered us. Even when we didn't even know him. And now, if we're going to face a present trial, you know what's going to help us to face a present trial? A trial right now is to remember how he delivered us in the past. God told Israel, when he carried them into Israel, he said, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. And he showed us by that, that without giving a man the Holy Spirit and keeping him, he won't remember. Because they didn't remember. But God's going to make his people remember. Remember what God's done for you. One time Christ's disciples got to fretting. They misunderstood the Lord Jesus because he was talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. They thought he was talking about bread. And then they realized, we done crossed over here and didn't bring any bread with us. And they began to reason within themselves, trying to figure out what we're going to do. That's when we mess up. And Christ perceived it. And this is how he calmed them. He said, oh, ye a little faith, remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. Remember how I delivered you in the past. That's how we're going to face the present trial. Remember past deliverance. All right, now let's go to the second tense, present tense. It says in our text, and he doth deliver. He doth deliver. At every moment, since God has called us, God has constantly been delivering us and keeping us, trusting Christ alone. He's been doing that constantly, keeping us trusting Christ alone. Psalmist said, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. We don't see the deaths, the majority of the deaths and the deliverance that he does for us. We don't see it. We don't see it. The things that we look at, the things we see and consider to be great deliverance is really comparatively small. Because he's delivering us from the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's evil we can't see. There's spirits we can't see. What do you think makes a world all of a sudden go stark raving mad? And yet, you're delivered from it. It's God keeping you. That's it. It's God delivering you from it. That's what it is. Back in 07, I was asking Scott. Him and Christine took me and Melinda on this boat trip. And we put in at Keyport, New Jersey, on the Jersey shore. And we went in the boat. We motored across and went across Raritan Bay and went across New York Harbor. And then we went up the Hudson River, had Jersey City on one side, Manhattan on the other, went all the way up to the George Washington Bridge. And you just imagine, if you're trying to cross that bay, I don't know how many miles it is, but I was thinking of something like 15 miles, but I can't remember. But it was a long trip. It's a big, big bay. And you imagine trying to go across that bay in the middle of Hurricane Sandy, when it's blowing to top speed. And doing it, carrying a lit candle and keeping that candle lit from one side to the other. Arthur Pink said, it's more miraculous than that, that God delivers us through this world amidst so many enemies that we don't even see and know. We can't deliver ourselves from the ones we can see, much less the ones we can't. But that's what he does. And then Christ keeps us by putting an ever-present wall around us. He said this, I will not forget thee. Behold, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He's put a wall around us. And he's going to keep his people. Why? Because he's got some wounds in his hands. That shows that he shed his precious blood and bought us, and we belong to him. And we're his body. And if he don't have every member of his body won't be complete. And his justice will be thwarted. Justice won't be done if he loses one for whom he's already justified. And so he shall deliver us. And that's why he's going to protect his people constantly. Constantly. At times, you know, we do behold some of our enemies. And when we do start seeing the enemies, we think that we're a goner. We can't, we're done for. You know, you get to that point where you just, I don't know what I'm going to do. Can't do anything. Best place you can be to get to that point where you realize, I can't do nothing. Well, Elisha's servant faced that one morning. He woke up one morning, walked outside, and looked, and on every hill all the way around him was the enemy army. Horses and chariots all the way around him. And he started crying out to Elisha, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha answered him, fear not. He said, they that are with us are more than that than be. They that are with us are more than be with them. And he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. There was more that. Do you believe this? This is so. God's angels are around his people constantly, sent forth to minister us and protect us all the time, constantly. And we've got more protectors with us than our enemies do. Now that's just so. So our Savior hath delivered us, and our Savior doth deliver us. He's delivering us right now. And then we come now to the future deliverance. Our text says there, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Every so often, about every 10 years or so, religion comes out, they start marketing a new slogan. It becomes real popular. And I remember one time growing up, there for a number of years, where the big slogan was, it was hold on and hold out. That was the slogan for religious folks. Hold on and hold out. Well, our future is secure not by our holding on to God, but by God holding on to us. That's how our future is secure. Go to Isaiah 41, and I want you to look here with me at this future tense. Isaiah 41. Look here, Isaiah 41:10. God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. That's present tense. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Now here we come to some future tense. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall, that's future tense, they shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Aren't you glad of that? It's not you holding his hand. He says, I will hold your right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. You see, go to Romans 5 with me. You see, here's the thing. We hated God. We hated God, and we didn't want to have anything to do with God. And if a man ain't ever hated, found out that he hated God, didn't want nothing to do with God, he ain't had nothing to do with him yet. You got to be taught that all you are in your nature is hatred of God. And that's what we were. We hated God. We were enemies to God in our minds constantly. But watch this, Romans 5:10. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You see, Christ lives. Christ is alive. Christ is at God's right hand. And Christ said, and it's by his life that we're going to live. It's by his constant intercession before God for us that our triune God will not let us perish. Christ said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No man shall ever pluck them out of my hand, he said. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and nobody shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in Christ's hand. We're in God's hand. And he said, he's not going to allow his people to pluck one of his people out of his hand. Now, brethren, our past, by our past and our present deliverance, we look to this future deliverance now. And we can say this with Paul, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What have I committed to him? Everything. Everything. I'm dependent on him for everything. And I'm persuaded he's able. He's going to keep everything. He's going to do that. That's future tense. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, that's past tense. He hath begun a good work in you, will perform it, that's present tense, unto future tense, the day of Jesus Christ. So, brethren, when we think about this future tense, we have to remember this, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Soon our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And when he returns, he's going to bring us into glory with him as his entirely new creation, created by him alone in body, soul, and spirit. Not the kind of body we got now. It ain't going to be dust. It's going to be a new body. It's going to be our body. It's going to be a spiritual body, an immortal body, and an immortal soul, an immortal spirit, entirely created by Christ out of nothing that came from us. Absolutely out of nothing that came from us. It's going to be his creation, entirely his creation. And we're going to dwell with him forever. Look over at 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that, and the word really is when. We know that when our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, and it shall be, that's what it's doing every minute of every day is dissolving. It's dissolving. It's our earthly tabernacle. It's a tent. And you don't stay in a tent forever. You take the tent down, and it's dissolving. It's going to go right back to the dust. But watch what we have. We have a building of God. We have it's not a tabernacle. It's a permanent dwelling built by God. A house not made with hands, not our hands. Eternal. This is an eternal house in the heavens. That's where it's at. And so when Christ returns, he's going to take us across that river. Go back to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. I want you to see this now. What's it going to be like? This is a song they were singing, but I want you to... You remember whenever... I don't think we've come to it yet. We will, though. Lord willing, we will. Where the when they got ready to cross the Jordan River, remember that? God told those priests, he said, you go down there and you stand with your feet in the river and you hold up the ark. That's all you do. You just stand with your feet in the river and hold up the ark. And the people were to stay back. They were to stand back because there's a bunch of folk. If you get all crowded up there, everybody's not going to be able to see. You got to stand back far enough so they can see that ark out there. Everybody could see it. And he said, you just keep your eye on that ark. And you know what God did? They stood there with their feet in the edge of that river and held that ark up. And God dried the river up. And they went across on dry ground. Christ is that high priest. He is that ark. And he's the one that's holding himself up before us so we behold him and making us behold him. And he says, all you do is you just behold me, and I'm going to drive that river, and I'm going to take you across. Watch this now, Exodus 15:16. Fear and dread shall fall upon our enemies. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, to the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made, in the place thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established, and the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Now, 35 minutes, we've gone from eternity past to our past historical, the historical past, to our experiential past, to our present, to the future history, or the future that will be in the time, to eternity. We've gone from eternity to eternity. Now, when you read the scripture and you hear me say, salvation is of the Lord, this is what I mean. Salvation is of the Lord. I mean that our salvation and the salvation of all God's elect has been, is being, and shall be accomplished by our great God and Savior alone, beginning to end. Every bit of it. Somebody will hear that and they're going to say, well, you just sound like you say that God's just got control of every single thing in the salvation of His people from the very beginning, in every little detail, even controlling the enemies, even controlling you, even controlling everything about His people until He brings us to glory. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Exactly. And when we get to glory, everything that we hold on to right now and think that we can't live without won't even be there. None of it. Because it ain't, it defiles every bit of it. Everything we think we need to hang on to is defiling and is the worst thing in the world for us. God gave it to Christ. And Christ, the reason He created a world where we live in it and created us and did all this for us in this world is to show us something of how He's creating an entirely new world. And He's creating His people new. And everything there will be His creation. Paul comforted Timothy with this. He said, the Lord stood with me. He said, and the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we'll be saying, to Him be glory, and we'll be saying it forever and forever. Amen.